You know, something's wrong. I just thought I didn't be here at all. Grateful for that. God is good.
All the time.
even when you have a head cold or whatever. At least it's not a big head. Well, I hope it's not a big head. Anyway, we are here to celebrate the Lord's Supper and to remind us of the Lord Jesus. This morning, Pastor Ryan and I both are going to share. So I'm going to do part of it. He's going to do part of it. So if you haven't got your outline out, there's an outline in your bulletin. But I want to begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll read the passage that we are thinking about from starting verse 23, where the Scripture talks about what we're doing today and how that's to be observed and what that's to be about. So I'm going to begin and just read it, and then we'll share a few thoughts together. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come." A lot that could be shared out of this passage, but we're going to focus on the Jesus saying twice as he gave took the bread and broke it, and as he served the cup, that he said to do this in remembrance of me, in remembrance of Jesus. And that's what we're here today for, is to remember Jesus, to think about who he is and what he's done, and hopefully honor him in the process. So two things I'm going to share, and then Pastor Ryan will do some others. First of all, remember what Jesus did. Remember what Jesus did. Jesus told these as he gave this ordinance that we're doing today. He said, "Do this to remember me." So when I think about it, I think of some things that Jesus has done, that he did. The first scripture passage in your notes says, "If you address his Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during your stay on earth, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." We are here today to remember. Jesus said, this scripture passage talked about what Jesus did. We weren't redeemed with stuff we did or with earthly things. I like the way this phrases that. We were redeemed with what? Precious blood. The blood of Christ, the perfect Son of God. He's already done that. The Lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Well, he's the only one who could be pure enough to make our lives clean. He's the only one who can get rid of our sin. And I'm grateful that when he comes into our life and saves us, he doesn't cover up our sin, he removes our sin. He washes us, makes us new creations in Christ. But he said we're redeemed with precious blood, the Lamb unblemished, the spotless blood of Christ. And so he's done that for us. The other passage says he predestined us to adoption as sons of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. He adopted us as children of God through Jesus. When we become children of God, how do we do that? We become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We become a joint heir with Jesus. We become a son or daughter through Jesus Christ, and he adopts us. So what Christ did on that cross, by giving his life for us. He said that through the grace of God, he has redeemed us through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. I think what I need to remember here as I come to worship Christ and to remember the giving of his life on the cross. The cross to me reminds me that sin is terrible. Its price was a life of Jesus Christ being given on the cross. Sometimes I feel like we sort of think lightly of disobedience and of sin. Sin is terrible because the result was the Son of God had to die on the cross in order for us to be forgiven of that. We would never be made right otherwise. And so when they talk about the forgiveness of our trespasses, I'm reminded of Jesus. Because of what he did, I can be forgiven of mine. How many trespasses does he forgive you for? All of them. Aren't you glad you don't keep say, well, now I'll do this and this one, but those others are not in the, I can't do that. He does them all. And I come today to celebrate that he's already done that for us. Now, if you have been born again, if you've been saved, he saved you, and now you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Can you say today, Jesus has forgiven me. Jesus has saved me. I am a child of God. Can you say that for sure today? If you can, then that's a blessing to say, he's already done that. I'm already saved. I'm born again. If you haven't, my prayer is that today will be the day when you choose to ask Jesus Christ to save you and to cause you to be born again by his grace. So when I think about remember what he did, I'm thinking about two things. What he did on the cross, and then all that's involved in that, as well as the resurrection, and what he's done in my life. Not only has he saved us, has he done anything in your life since you became a child of God? Has he done anything since the day that you began the Christian journey? He's done a lot of stuff in our life. You think about all the blessings, all the care, all the love, all the grace. And by the way, has he ever had to forgive you of sin more than once?
Yes,
I wish that wasn't true. It didn't have to be true, but it is. So when I think about what he did, I come and say, thank you, Jesus. And through your broken body and your shed blood, you have said that the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing me from sin. And I can come again and again. So I'm grateful for loving him, loving us enough to do what he did. So I come today and say, thank you, Lord. I will remember what you did. Tim Miller told about a time when his 9-year-old daughter was very ill. In fact, he had to take her to the hospital. They spent the night with CT scans and x-rays and blood tests and all kinds of things. The last thing, early in the morning, they said to him, there's one more test we need to do for your daughter. And that's a final tap. They said, it's going to be painful. And I asked him, are you going to stay in the room? He said, well, I couldn't leave my daughter by herself. So they asked her to get undressed, and she curled up in a ball. So they could. And he said, I put my head down against hers, and I hugged her up as best I could. He said, as I started to insert the needle in her spine, she began to say, Daddy, 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 as if to say, can't you do something about this? And he said, I remembered. I thought about it. Here I was letting the one I love go through the most excruciating pain because I loved her. But he said in the middle of that, I remembered another time when a father and a son went through excruciating pain on that cross. And I wonder if you remember that Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Daddy, where are you? And you let him go through all of that because he loved us. He knew that's what had to happen. And I'm grateful. The second thing, remember what Jesus is doing. Not only what he did, but what he's doing. Because I'm grateful to know that when Jesus starts something, he didn't quit. The scripture passage that says, he who began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus. So when he began a work in you by saving you, He's still working. So let me remind you of the scripture passage on your notes. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. What's he doing right now? He's right here. Each one of you who know him as Savior and Lord, he is right here with you, with a promise that he'll always be here with you. Not only in this world, but in the life to come. What's he doing right now? He's right here. He's right here. In each of your lives that know him as Savior and Lord. Because he said, I will never. I like that promise. Because God keeps his promises. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I believe he's doing that right now. He's with us. I also believe that right now, in this very moment, according to Scripture, Jesus is interceding for every one of us before the Father. Right now, as children of God, he is praying to the Father on our behalf, whatever our needs are. I like that because I think if anybody gets prayer answered, it's Jesus. And so I celebrate him that not only did he what he did, but what he's doing right now is he intercedes for us before the Father. Let me read another scripture passage. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been put to death, the old self put to death. And the life I live, when? Now, in the flesh, I live how? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is he alive in you right now? If you're a child of God, he's alive in you. I want to suggest he's there guiding you. You ever had God, you know, you look through life, you start doing something, and all of a sudden you say, no, that's not what I ought to do. And then you say, well, I ought to do this. He's still here right now to guide us through his Holy Spirit. He's protecting us. Often when we make trips and I'm out on the freeway and come back home, I say, thank you, God, for your protection. Because I don't know how often he caused me to be at a different place at a different time, which could have been a disaster if he hadn't been protecting me. I think of it at nighttime when I go to bed. I'm glad to know that he's watching over our house where we are. He is. Right now, he's here doing that. He's empowering us to live for him. He's correcting us. Aren't you glad he corrects us? You know, we don't like correction. It hurts. But he does it because he loves us. But I'm reminded right now, he's here loving us. He's loving on us. And so this morning as we come, I want you to remember two things. What Jesus did, both on the cross and in your life. I hope you think about all he's done as we come to share these in a moment. And secondly, what he's doing right now, he's speaking to you and I. He's here communicating himself to us right now. Right now. And I'm grateful for that. Let's look at the other two parts.
Can you hear me now? Hopefully you will later. All right. Well, taking a look, we wanted, of course, to focus as well just not on what Jesus has done but and what he's doing, but also our personal part in this. And we look at, we have to remember how to participate. Paul, of course, in the passage that Pastor Gene had read, talked about the sobriety that we need to approach the situation. He even said that some of you, speaking to the Corinthians, have fallen asleep or passed away in Christ. Perhaps some are sick even because of how they may have looked at this, that it is a serious matter. But we look, of course, deeper to the root of why I do this. And one of the scriptures I'd like to talk to you about is Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 5. It's a very common one. I'm sure you know it. And it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Now that's a tall order, as it is. and a big call. But I love looking at a few words. I mentioned today is someone, I think Wanda came up and said behind Ryan. She goes, that's okay, I'll hide behind Ryan. And I said, I make a pretty good door, don't I? I had a student I was working with. I shared afterwards. He said to me one day, anybody speak Spanish in here a little bit? Sometimes I'll have Spanish thrown at me. And he said, hey, Mr. Lane, el carne de burro no es transparente. And I said, what? And I had to go back. I said, let's rewind to high school Spanish. I said, the flesh of the donkey isn't transparent. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I said, oh, we have this one. We say, I make a better door than a window. He says, well, whatever works, man, but get out of my way. You know? Sometimes things in translation can be misplaced, but it's a little bit easy because the word hear, O Israel, is Shema. And it's not always just translated as hear. And there's more that's deeper to it that we can understand as those who speak English. Shema can also be to guard something. Shema can also be to obey. The Lord in Exodus 19:5 says, if you Shema me closely, you'll be my treasured nation. Psalm 27 says, God, Shema my voice and hear. And hear when I call, but there's also what sometimes a component to Shema that is not just to hear, but it's to obey. And God here is not calling, in my mind, Israel just to listen to me and calling us to listen. He's saying, listen and do what I tell you. That's why Jesus so many times says, for he who has ears to hear, let him hear, not just for the sake of hearing. If you have ears to hear, I want you to hear and go do. And then he says, love the Lord your God. Right? With all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And sometimes that word soul cannot just be rendered soul either. Not just what we think of as some kind of ghostly form within us, but also our very lives, the summation of all that we are. And the word might there, the Hebrew has a word for strength or might, but that's not what they use there. They use the word ma'od, which means kind of like very or much. You know, when God said the world was good when he was making these things, on this day I made this and it was good. On this day I made it and it was good. God's pretty good and he makes good things. When he was done, he said it is very good, right? In the Hebrew it says, and God was finished, and he said it was very, very, right? It was very, very. It was ma'od, ma'od. You're like, wait a second, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But the idea is that it's a qualifying. And we look at this and say, God, if you want me to love you with all of my very, very, with all of my ability, with all of the everything that I could ever do. It's not just a call to love God with my strength because my strength fails. It's a love to call God with an entire view of myself, with an entire thing, and with my ma'od, with everything that I'm possibly capable of. This is a call to love God to our fullest extent. And when we look at how we're to love God, I also want to read also in 2 John verse 6. And it says, and this is love, that we walk according to the commandments, to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you've heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. I recognize that if I love God with all of my heart, soul, and mind, with everything that I am, with all my ma'od, my very, very, I'm going to also obey and do what he says. And this is a blessed thing that we do, because we don't obey, I mean, I know Pastor Gene has shared before, if you obey something just out of obligation, it doesn't mean anything. I couldn't imagine my children coming to me saying, Daddy, thank you so much for this. And I said, well, I had to. You know, you know, my wife and I have been married for 12 years. I could say, you know, I love you, honey. I said, well, I love you too, but I really, I have to. God said I had to love you. So, you know, no, that'd be I'd have to block what's coming next. You know, Arbor, she wouldn't, but you get my point. Obedience out of duty alone is nothing, and that's why we love God with everything of ourselves. We don't obey. When we obey out of only obligation, it's hollow and it's empty. When we obey out of love, that's the spirit that we're doing. And so we participate in this out of obedience because of love in Christ and all that Pastor Gene had said that he has done for us, all that he is doing for us. I love in Hebrews as well. Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, talking about Christ. Did Christ go to the cross just out of duty? No, he didn't. He was looking forward to that joy that was coming. It wasn't just out of blind obedience to the Father that he did these things. No, he asked, if there is another way, can we do this? But the answer was the same. I'm sorry, my son, this is it. And we're going to do this. And he said, fine. And he committed. Then we're going to do this. And there was that joy set before him that he looked forward to, that out of love and obedience for his Father, but also out of love for you and me. That's the kind of love that we are talking about. The next point that we should remember that he's coming again. And the first scripture to share is an oldie but a goodie. In Isaiah 25, 6 through 8, it says, "The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all the peoples of this mountain. A banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow, refined aged wine." I guess he really liked that one. "And on the mountain he will swallow up the covering which is over all peoples, even the veil which is stretched over all the nations. He will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord God will wipe tears away from all their faces, and he'll remove the reproach from his peoples, from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." We talked earlier today in the Bible boot camp class about something that was just a wording we had in one of the texts, and it talked about something unique about prophecy is God predicting the future. And we kind of stopped and said, wait a second. God doesn't predict the future. He declares the future. I said, the Lord isn't sitting around like Johnny Carson with an envelope to his forehead going, you know. No, he's telling the prophet, I want you to share this with the people because this is going to happen. He knows that. And he's looking forward to this. And I love that he's saying, because Jesus, what did he tell them right after he's saying these words on that night when he shared with the juice, when he shared with the bread? What did he tell them? He says, you know what? I'm not going to drink of the fruit of vine again until I drink it new in the kingdom with you. And that's a beautiful promise of looking ahead. And we talked about it a little bit today as well. When you ate with someone in a Near Eastern culture, there was something that was more than just, I gave you food. You know, we can give somebody, you know, I could drive through, a Carl's Jr. and give somebody a hamburger and say, you look hungry. And that's a good thing. But in this culture, if I brought someone into my home and I fed them, it was offering protection. It was offering acceptance. It means that Christine shared a story that she just recently heard about people that are in, again, fighting off ISIS, how they had brought in an American soldier, and that they were fighting to the death to protect him because they had let this person come in and accepted him like that. That kind of cultural ideal is still alive in some today. And imagine this, the God of the universe, who allowed mankind to be in his presence after all we had done. And when he had the tabernacle built, he allowed the priests to come and have a part in that. When God would eat with his people. And yet, what do we have? The Lord of all things, the Son who created, through whom all things were made, and he's offering food and bread to the disciples. We have God eating with men and saying, hey, it's okay, I've got you. This is the bread that is my body and the blood of the covenant. He goes, I am not, like Pastor Gene said, this is not just going to cover, it's going to wash away your sin. Not the elements themselves, but his sacrifice and what he was doing. And we do it to remember that sacrifice. The Lord is offering to eat with us. He is offering us eternal security and eternal protection. And we, of course, recognize the future hope of the Messiah that was talked about here. No more death. He talked about wiping our tears away and the disgrace that will be gone. And finally, of course, at the end of the book, we read in Revelation 22, this is Jesus. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the immoral persons, the murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. But I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, what do they say? Come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. And this is what we have, a hope of a Christ who is still calling us even today to come. So, without further ado, let's participate together.
Okay. The men are going to serve, but come ahead. Sometimes individuals ask who gets to participate in the Lord's Supper. That's between you and the Lord. If you know Christ as Savior and Lord and you feel you're in right relationship with Him, feel free to participate as a cup, a bread and a cup are passed. It's between you and Him. And we trust that you will think of that as we hopefully remember what we're about today. I remind you what the Scripture says. I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the night which He is betrayed, took bread. When He given thanks, He broke and said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." Shall we pray? Julius Doug?
Dear Heavenly Father,
and Jesus had also said, "And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins.'" Since you're still without something, sorry, would you go ahead and pray for us, please?
Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the blessings you've given us. And help us to remember everything we need to remember about you right now. And also, after we leave here, let us not forget you, but always remember you as we go through the day. And bless us for doing these things. In Jesus' name.
And together, let's go ahead and raise the cup and remember that there'll be a day coming when we get to drink it anew with Him, face to face. Amen.
I encourage you to stay for lunch downstairs, but let's stand together. Sing the first and last stanzas of Amazing Grace. How great the sound. If you want to grab a hand around the aisle, you can do that.